you find something really interesting in Parshas Lech Lecha, Parshas Vayera, and Parshas Toldos, which is that Avram does it twice, Yitzchak does it once, but there are situations where they're entering into somewhat questionable locations. Avram does it in Parshas Lech Lecha when he's going down to Mitzrayim. He does it in Parshas Vayera when he's going near Avimelech, and Yitzchak as well in Parshas Toldos, and that is that they're nervous what's going to be with their wives. Apparently there's a Masorah in Chazal that Torah tells us that their wives were very good-looking, and they were nervous what was going to happen with them, and they lied a bit and said, just say, you know, Imri na achosi at. Be honest, tell people, or don't be honest, tell people that you are my sister, and if we do that, so then, says Avraham Avinu, it'll be good for me, I'll be taken care of, I'll be saved. Otherwise, Avraham Avinu seems to be scared, maybe he's going to get killed, and l'chora, that's what's happening with Avram also in Parshas Vayera, and Avram in Parshas Toldos, and Toldos as well. And the question many Mepharshim ask is, this is not typically the behavior that we would have thought, or we would have associated with Avraham Avinu. It seems like Avraham Avinu is more interested in saving himself than saving Sarah. It seems like Avram is much more focused on his own like material success, l'ma'an yitav li ba'avureich, than he is anything else. And what exactly is going on? And even though it's possible to distinguish, as some Mepharshim do, with what Avram does in Parshas Vayera or Yitzchak in Parshas Toldos, presumably this is more or less a similar kind of an idea. The Mepharshim have a bunch of different explanations for Avram's behavior. We're going to quote, I think, total about five different explanations. About three of them will be focused more on the world of Pshat, and two, I think, some really interesting drush that is not Pshat, but really, really intriguing, and I think really, really intelligent. The Ramban writes in Parshat Lech Lecha that Avram actually sinned. This was a mistake of Avraham Avinu. V'daki Avraham Avinu sinned gadol b'shkaga, shevi isho ha-tzadikas b'michshol avon, that Avram actually did something that was wrong. It was a sin of Avraham Avinu to put himself in such a situation. He should have had more bitachon in Hashem. He should have assumed that Hashem would take care of them, and he shouldn't have lied and shouldn't have put Sarah in that kind of a situation. The Ran says, if he really messed up, so some of the Mepharshim in one of the editions of the Ramban, the Ran, the Maral, and Kavus Hashem asked this question, if Avram really would have messed up, is it so believable he would have messed up a second time, and then Yitzchak would have also messed up? If it was really a chid, is it possible they all would have sinned the same way? So the Ramban, they quote in the footnote there, the Ramban explains in one of his farim called Torah Shem Tamima, that in fact, yeah, they messed up. Avram didn't really pick up on the fact that he was being punished for it. He didn't really notice what he was doing was really so wrong. But according to the Ramban, Avram's behavior was dramatic behavior, and nothing more or less than that. However, the Radak writes that what Avram did was totally appropriate. The Radak explains in his Peirush in Chumash that in truth, Avraham Avinu didn't realize it was going to be an issue before he came down to Mitzrayim. Avraham Avinu thought everything was going to be okay. When he went to Mitzrayim, says the Radak, the people in Mitzrayim were not as good looking as the people in Canaan. When he was in Canaan, he thought Sarah was safe. Goes down to Mitzrayim, not as good looking. He sees, oh my gosh, she's so much more beautiful than everyone else, and he gets very, very scared. And Avraham Avinu is not sure what to do, and he assumes, on some level, it seems like they're going to take Sarah no matter what. The issue is that they would rather kill Avram, a one-time Isser, and be with Sarah forever, as opposed to keep Avram alive. Either way, they're going to take her. But they would rather the one-time Isser of killing him than being intimate with her, sleeping with her many, many times, which would be many, many Isurim. So Avram figured, in a certain sense, let me do whatever I can. I can ein somchin al hanes. Maybe Shema Yigrum HaChet, even though the Ribbono Shel Olam promised me certain things, maybe I should be nervous, I'm no longer deserving of it. I wouldn't have gone here in the first place, but once I went down here, this is sort of like my best option, so suggests the Radak. The Sfarno has a different explanation, which is, I think, really, really fascinating. The Sfarno says, what's the whole Imri Na'achosiyat, L'man Yitav Liba Avureich? It used to be the minhag that when a woman would come down, if someone wanted to marry her, they would negotiate with her relative some sort of a dowry, how much money they were going to pay to be at this chus of being able to marry this woman. And Avraham Avinu figured, says to Sfarno, I'll be a bit of a difficult negotiator. L'man yitav li ba'avureich, people are going to ask to marry you, and I'm going to stall, and I'm going to ask for tons of money, and by the time the negotiations are sort of coming to an end, we'll escape and we'll get out of here. But Avraham's real intention was to try to sort of pull a move a little bit, so that they'd be able to get out, so that they'd be able to be in a safer kind of a place. But his intention was never to be for her to be with Paro. What happened was that they saw and they took her for Paro himself. when Paro wants to be with someone, there won't be the same negotiations. Paro can just sort of like take her and then have some negotiations afterwards. But the original plan really was to sort of have these discussions and negotiations about paying money, and by the time it would be over, they'd really be able to get out. So one, the Ramban, it was really some sort of a chait. The Radak, they were stuck. It wasn't the initial intention. Many points out because the pasuk, hine nayadati, I realize that now it's really some sort of a problem. For the Radak, it was his way of sort of saving himself because he had no other option, otherwise they would for sure just kill him. For the Sfarno, he was really never the plan was for Sara to be with anyone else, ish. He never really want that. It was rather an attempt at negotiating long enough, demanding enough money, that he'd be able to get out. The Or Chaim has an absolutely amazing insight. Absolutely amazing insight. He points out that it seems to be in a medrash, and we'll note it in the following way. He says, you know, the Avraham Avinu and Sarah were unable to have children. They've been trying for a while, were not able to have children. It happens to be, says the Or HaChaim, that the Torah tells us one way that you can have a segula for having children. What's the one way you can have a segula for having children? If your wife is a sota, and if she's nistara, if your wife is alone with a man, and then they go through a process, and it becomes clear that really she's not guilty, so the Torah tells in parts not so, they're going to be blessed with a child. So what was Avinu's plan? Well, she's going to have nistara with Paro, nistara with Avimelech, and the attempt was that through this chus of this, that maybe through this stira, just like with the regular sota, that really Avraham Avinu would be able to have children with Sarah. He points out, the Medrash tells that Chana may have intended to say that also, when she was davening for a child, please, Yivam Shalom, give me a child. If not, the Medrash says that one of the things Chana said was, I'll go the sota, nistara, bitahora kind of a route. So they point out with the Or HaChaim, even notes a Medrash that seems to say this. If you give a sota, nistara, a child, how could you not give Sarah Imenu, Sarah that was with Paro and Avimelech? What they point out from the Mefarshim in the Or HaChaim is obviously there was not a formal sota process when it came with Sarah. Avraham Avinu wasn't accusing her of anything, but Avraham Avinu was confident Sarah wouldn't do anything. He was confident there's no way Sarah Imenu would let anything happen. But the way that at least some explain the Medrash essentially saying as follows. Part of the reason why a sota gets the blessing of having a child is because of all the embarrassment she has to go through. She's embarrassed, she has to drink the sota water, it's more of a public ritual. If you go through the first parak of Masechta Sota, it's a very, very embarrassing ordeal. And Sarah obviously also went through this in a very, very embarrassing way. To go to Paro, to go to Avimelech, to lose her husband, in that kind of a way. And through this chus, just like a sota, shenistera, that part of Avraham Avinu's intent was, maybe this is a chap at being able to get a child. Obviously it's not the pshuto shel mikra, but it is certainly a very, very intriguing idea as far as what may have really been going on. There is another Torah. This is really al derech drush. It's really al derech drush. It's found by some of the chassidim. The first place that I'm familiar with it, being the first time I heard it, the Beis Yaakov Ishbitzer, the son of the Meir Shiloach, the Beis Yaakov Pars Lecha Os Chavav, the Sefer Or HaMeir, who I believe is an early Talmud of the Magen of Mezrich, in Pars Lecha, more or less a similar idea. We'll take out some of the Kabbalah and some of the chassidim a little bit, just to develop what is a very, very beautiful idea. There are two kinds of relationships that people have, reflected in the husband-wife relationship and the brother-sister relationship. The husband-wife relationship has an advantage. It's a much more intimate kind of a relationship. Husband and wife, ishto kegufo, are much, much closer than brother-sister typically. It's a much more intimate, much closer kind of a relationship. But brother and sister has an advantage over husband and wife. The advantage is that brother and sister, on the one hand, don't have to do anything to start that relationship. They're born into it. But also, there's no end to a brother-sister relationship. A husband and wife, they're very, very close, but there could be gerushin. There could be a way to end it. The brother-sister relationship, that can never really be ended. Brother-sister relationship, once you're locked into that, you're locked into that forever. Suggest these chassidim that in general, the Beis Yaakov elaborates how the relationship that the Bon Shalom wants to have with us has elements potentially of both. There are elements of brother and sister, no matter what, we have a certain shaykhas or bonus sha'olam. There are elements of husband and wife that we have the ability to earn it, to begin that relationship, and to get it in a very, very powerful way. Suggest the Beis Yaakov and the Or HaMeir each in slightly different ways. Avraham Avinu, when in Parshas Lech Lecha, in Parshas Vayera, Yitzhak and Parshas Toldos, each, in, again, in their own context, they were going into very dangerous situations. They're going into places where they were really nervous and it was going to really test the strength of their marriage. It was going to be a bit of a question as to how they were going to survive and how it was really going to go. And what Avraham Avinu was saying as follows. We have acquired a husband and wife relationship. We've acquired a deep and intimate relationship. But we're going somewhere now which is a little bit dangerous. Imri na achosi'ah. Is it possible that now we can transition our relationship to not just have the intimacy of husband and wife, but the power and long-lasting nature of brother and sister? That there is nothing that can ever come between us. There is nothing that can ever end it. Avraham knew it was going to be difficult in Mitzrayim. He shows up in Mitzrayim, knows it's going to be hard. He says, Sarah, our relationship has to be a relationship like brother and sister, not just husband and wife. All we've earned through husband and wife, let's concretize that in a very, very powerful way. The way the Or HaMeir says it, Imi Nachosiyat, More Hayosu Avaso Shlema. It's an intense Ava. Built Shum Siba Klal. They're born into it, not based on any reason. Ki Im Kimo Ach V'Achos, V'lo Misparshim Ahavasam La'olam. It's never, never going to end. It's never going to end. And that's something which is a very powerful statement about having that kind of relationship of brother and sister, one that has the intimacy and also the sort of rock-solid nature of it. We began by a question, how could Avraham Avinu, this week's parsha, next week's parsha, how could Yitzchak put their spouse in such a situation? For the Ramban, it was a chait. For the Radak, he found himself in it. In Somchan al-Hanes, it was his one out. The Sfarno, he's going to negotiate and try to stall a little bit. The Or HaChaim and the Beis Yaakov, or Meir, each in their own way, a bit al derech Jewish, al derech Chassidus. The Or HaMeir was a way of solving the fertility problem. It was a way of being zocha to have children, to go through the Sota-type ritual, which we have a bracha of Zera. And for the Beis Yaakov and the Or HaMeir, that transitioning their relationship to be so powerful that they can really handle anything. That we should be zocha to have those kinds of relationships, to learn a lot from Avraham Avinu, but the power of relationships, the close relationships, and in particular, those kinds of relationships that really end up being permanent.